Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beat Buzzing with you today with Danielle Beck of NCBA's Washington, D.C. office. We're talking fake meat in just a moment. Well, cattle producers, the next big event for Superior Video Livestock Market this summer is Video Royale 27, the 29th of July through the 2nd of August. On Monday, July 29th, they'll be broadcasting live from Fort Worth, Texas, starting at 7:30 a.m. for Superior Sunrise, 8 a.m. for the video auction. Then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, July 31st through the 2nd of August, broadcast live from the Winnemucca Convention Center, Winnemucca, Nevada. In total, 177,000 head of cattle will be offered, 25,000 yearling steers, 17,000 yearling heifers, 82,000 wean calves, and 52,000 calves on cows. Now, if you'd like to know details of when the cattle from the various parts of the country will be selling on each of these days, go to SuperiorLivestock.com or call Superior at 800-422-2117. 800-422-2117. Superior Livestock's Video Royale, the week of July 29th at Superior Livestock, we bring the market to you. There's plant-based products imitating meat, and there's lab-based products still to come to the marketplace that'll be grown from meat cells. According to Danielle Beck of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's D.C. office, both of these products are being watched very closely by the cattle industry.
Across the board, be it lab-grown or plant-based, our interest in fake meat is making sure that we are allowed to compete on a fair, even playing field. Lab-grown products are taken, you know, the cells are taken directly from live animals. They're put in a nutrient-dense liquid medium, go through a bioreactor, and voila, you have this meat-like product that does come from a real animal and is going to be competing directly against us in the meat case, you know, sometime down the road. And so making sure that the laws that govern these products ensure that the purveyors are held to the exact same set of standards, be it, you know, when it comes to safety or labeling, that's really important to our organization. Plant-based products, they're already on the market. They have evolved with the advent of food technology, from a harmless sort of black bean burger, a Boca burger, to burgers that bleed and sizzle like real meat. They're going after no longer sort of the vegetarian subset of consumers. They're going after real meat eaters, and a lot of their marketing is very disparaging to conventional meat products, traditional meat products.
It seems like they're almost in the face of the cattle industry regarding these products and almost challenging beef in regards to the quality of their products.
Oh, absolutely. The CEO of Impossible Foods has said that he wants to put an end to animal agriculture by 2035. That's a pretty bold statement. I was once on an interview with him in which he stated their products, he was making real meat, real beef products. It was just made out of plants. So he has no qualms about mincing words. And my question to him is, since when do words not mean anything? Because there is a scientific definition of meat, and there's a regulatory definition of meat. And apparently, the laws and the science doesn't matter to him.
I know that, you know, one of the things you showed, of course, on the presentation today was the large number of ingredients that it takes to come together on a plant-based product. A lot of people are starting to question, you know, is it the right thing to do to eat one of those products versus, a meat product that is just beef or pork or chicken?
These are ultra-processed foods. If you look at the label of Beyond or Impossible, I mean, there are, I think, 18 and then 20 ingredients on each. That's a lot that goes into just one little product. We have, I think, an upper hand, because if you look at the label for ground beef, there's one ingredient, and it's beef.
Let's talk about the lab-grown products. I know this is something that you've really kind of tried to jump out in front of. You've got a lot of states. You mentioned various states that are involved with defining what a beef product really is. I know that there's the regulatory part of it is very important to us to make sure it's done right the first time.
Yeah. The rest of the world is watching right now, because to date, there's only one other country that has attempted to put anything on the books when it comes to the regulation of lab-grown products. The EU has a novel food product regulatory scheme. But here in the United States, we're really the at the forefront. And everybody else across the globe is watching and waiting to see what happens here. And so it's critically important that we get this right. Any determinations need to be based on science, but also these products need to be vetted for safety. The scientific data needs to be there demonstrating that they are safe for consumers before they enter the market. Because if they enter the market without that data being there and then a consumer gets sick, the technology itself is not going to be on the table for use anytime down the road.
I know that early on, NCBA and some of the other ag groups that were watching this wanted to make sure USDA had a leading role in the regulatory development of all these rules and regs. Are you satisfied with where we're at this point?
There's a lot of work that needs to be done, but the agreement in which USDA and FDA are going to jointly oversee lab-grown products was an excellent step in the right direction. We feel really good about where they are and just need to see what happens moving forward.
I know that, in the case of concerns of FDA versus USDA, we're still, I know you mentioned we've got a tentative agreement in effect, but we've still got quite a ways to go to try to get all that regulatory framework totally in place, right?
Yes, that is correct. So there are three different comment periods that FDA and USDA are reviewing together. Thousands of comments were submitted to each, and so, the agencies have to review those comments and then make a determination on whether or not they want to do a formal rulemaking for guidance, which is a bit more expedient of an approach, or do additional steps like having another public meeting, comment periods and whatnot. And so there's still some work to be done.
Where do you, see this whole marketplace, in other words, as we get closer to maybe actually a commercially available product of lab-grown comes to us, and maybe fairly soon, but more likely several years down the road, what does the industry really need to do to make sure that we have that level playing field that you referred to?
Yeah. The industry needs to be communicating about all the benefits of beef. Talk about what it is that you do every day. Our producers, they care for their herds. They care for their land. Beef is a safe, nutritious, affordable product because of all of the work that our producers do each and every day. And communicating with folks who are, one to five generations removed from a farm and really don't know where their food comes from, that's important. Because the data is there, and once you know that story, you can feel good about eating beef. And so communicating the benefits in the meantime, regardless of when these products come to the market, that's really, really important.
NCBA's Danielle Beck. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
This is Greg Griffith with the Livestock Exchange. Friends, you need a professional working for you when you sell your cattle. That's how you get top dollar. And selling with one of the eight commissions at the Oklahoma National Stockyards means you will have a pro working hard on your behalf. The Oklahoma National Stockyards, still one of the largest stocker and feeder cattle markets in the world. Bring your cattle and consign with one of our commission firms. And while you're in town, go around the corner and have a great steak or shop for a pair of boots here in Stockyard City. Remember, the Livestock Exchange at the Oklahoma National Stockyards.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.